Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to make time for Toski as we visit with the living legend himself, Bob Toski. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones.
All right.
Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. It is time to make time for Toski. Why? Because we can. He is an nonagenarian, and pretty soon he's going to be a centrogenarian. I think that's what the invitation said to his party. What? It's pretty crazy. It was thanks for the invitation. Looking forward to it. I don't know how many people are coming. As long as I'm coming, that's what matters most to me. So thank you very much for that.
Well, I'm overbooked.
There's a surprise. There's a surprise. SRO.
I'll probably have 120 people.
All right, 120. Okay, writing it down. Okay. I know I'll be at a good table. Now, I appreciate the invitation. I so always look forward to seeing you, and obviously I'm not going to be in just for the party. We're going to spend some time with Toski as well, though.
There you go.
Super, super popular guy. People are always popping by and everything else, so we'll try not to overwhelm him. I will not be staying with his illustriousness. I've booked a hotel room, so that's where I will be.
Okay.
Close by. So.
Close by, 2 minutes.
exactly right, in our favorite Deerfield Beach location. So.
Right.
That's that point. But I wanted to see if you had watched the Hartford Open. I know that's a tournament that you had won. You got Ken Duke good enough that he won the Hartford Open. And then Scottie Scheffler, I thought, was going to win it. But Victor Hovland won it on a Monday playoff, which is very, very unusual. But they had so much rain in Connecticut that they ended up having to delay the final round. And then when Scottie hit his nice putt and showed some emotion, they went into OT, and it didn't happen till the next day. But I don't know if you got a chance to watch that or not, but I know that is one of your favorite tournaments.
Well, did he miss a short putt on the first hole?
First hole of the playoff. He hits his second shot inside, or the approach shot inside of Hovland. Actually, Hovland hit his outside because Scotty hit first, and Scotty had the shorter putt. Victor made his, and Scotty did not. So the shorter putt, and then it was over that quickly. So to think about that you sleep overnight, you're tied, you got some good energy because you've made some great par saving putts the day before. You're ready to go, and then you get to the first playoff hole. You're inside, closer to the hole than your opponent, and then you miss the putt. So you go from.
Well, the opponent made his putt first.
Right. Well, that's it. You know, and losing to Victor Hovland is there's no shame in that. Victor is a tremendous young player.
This kid's a great competitor, Keith.
Yeah.
When he gets under the heat, he can handle it. His frame of mind is to stand and think win. I don't care if he's playing against Scheffler, I don't think that bothered him at all. I think he wanted to win more, even though he was playing with Scheffler.
Yeah, I would tend to believe. I mean, Victor is a competitor, and now he has 8 wins on the PGA Tour, so he's no stranger to winning big events.
No stranger, no. Is he a foreign player?
Yeah, he's from Scandinavia, so I want to say Norway is his home, and I had a senior moment there for a moment to think that I'm right, but I'll have the guys check it on that. But yeah, he has followers. You know, he had the Vikings in the crowd. It was humorous to see these young guys with their Viking helmets on and their horns and such. So he can be a fan favorite. You know, that's why you you have always an issue when you get two really good guys, really good players as well, competing against each other to win.
I'd like to bring up a name that I'm sure you'd like to have me confer with you on, Eric Cole.
Ah, yes, Eric Cole. I'm glad you brought up Eric Cole's name. You must have seen my cheat sheet here, because I saw his name on a leaderboard not too long ago.
Oh, he lost the tournament with three holes to go, and he's not handling pressure very well. I hope he hears my point of conversation with you, because I need to have him call me. I taught his father, Bobby Cole, when he came over from, I think, South Africa, that is. And this kid is going to be a big winner, but he's trying too hard when he gets under the heat. I watch his mannerisms and the way he walks and the way he looks at things, and he's just trying too hard to win, because he was in fourth or fifth place the first day.
Yeah, he shot a 63, so...
Yeah, and then he finished way down on the money list. I mean, I told Rotella that I'd like to have Rotella talk to him and try to straighten some of his mind box out, and Rotella said, tell him to call me, and I'd be happy to help him. So, and I'm high on Rotella. The man is he's a good mind picker, and he knows what to pick and knows how to sew.
It's true. I don't know who's RSVP'd. I'm sure you did send out an invitation to Doc for that soiree.
Rotella was the first one to send the invitation back.
I had an opportunity a couple of birthdays ago, Bob, to sit with him and his brother, and it was interesting. Doc Rotella had been on the show in the past, and looking forward to having him back on. But he's always so unassuming and so interesting.
Yes, he's got a very simple way of straightening out a lot of these guys that are basket cases. And of course, he could play himself. I played with him a number of times, and his ball striking and his attitude toward the concentration effort it takes to win, he then knows how to share that with a lot of these kids that need that kind of help.
Yeah, I mean, one of the original sports psychologists that got into golf and helped launch the career of Dr. Bob Winters as well. So, right. Rotella knows what he's got. A lot of books out. And he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's got a lot to offer. He's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, no question. So, Eric Cole, since we were... Bob was talking about, is 38 years old, turned professional back in 2009, and has struggled a bit. But couple of second finishes, I guess three seconds, two-thirds.
He's played so well the last month, but he hasn't played well when he signed it. And I watch his mannerisms, and he's like a kid that's trying too hard, and there's a way to solve that problem. But I told him when I met him that he's going to win the major, and I'm going to make a prediction right here on the air with you. That kid will win a major, and the first one will be the Masters.
Wow, okay. I'm not going to hold you to what year it's going to be, but that's a heck of a one to win if you're going to win it for your first time.
Well, if he had won that tournament, he'd have been invited to the Masters.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
So.
But you think
I'll
he's got the game?
Yeah. If he does.
You think he's got the game to do it. So that's saying a lot coming from Bob Toski, who's been around a lot of golfers and a lot of professional golfers.
Yeah, you got that right. And I've enjoyed it. The challenge, it's amazing. When I got, I don't understand it, but when I got in position to win in a final threesome, and I couldn't wait to get teed up and play. I couldn't wait to try to shoot a low number and win. I wasn't afraid to win. I just hated to lose. And when I told that to Rotella, he says, "Well, that's why you won, because of your background and being small and light and Polish, and everybody saying you're not strong enough, big enough, and that made you more determined. And once you got in position to win, your psychological process with this is to think you could win and prove that those people were wrong." So probably that was one of my greatest incentives. And when I teed it up, oh, did I just love to get in heat. Oh, man of mine alive.
That's what drove you? Because, you know, I watch you around the game, and it just comes so natural to you. But
yes.
when your brother Jack and your other brothers were instrumental in getting you going, did you have that in there and they just brought it out? When did the light switch actually get flipped?
Well, what would you think if you were 16 years old? And on my mind at that time, I'm thinking of being a pro and playing good enough in the section, and then trying to qualify it for the PGA Tour. But here I am taking a lesson from my brother Jack, and I had a bad grip, and I hit that Magellan slice halfway around the world, and my brother's picking on me. He said, "You got to get rid of that ham sandwich grip and improve the swing that'll hit the ball straight or possibly draw it." So we're going through this one session, and I wasn't doing very good, and I said, "Jack, I can't handle that driver, and I'm not hitting the ball like you want me to." And he said, "Well," and I started to cry, and he was sitting in a chair and had a towel on his lap, picked up the towel and threw it at me and said, "Bobby, when you get through feeling sorry for yourself, we'll start all over again." So that was the start of me thinking I can overcome. Because I wanted to prove to him that I could get a better grip. So it started probably when I was 16. And when I won the Interscholastic Schoolboy Championship in Cranwell up in Lenox, I was the only one in my school that played golf. When I won that, they probably wanted to change my name. But anyway, when I go back, those were the incentives that made me determined and to win. Because even my sisters said, "Well, Bobby, and Jack didn't make it. Penny didn't make it. Tommy didn't make it. What do you mean? What do you think you're going to make it?" I says, "I haven't gone out there yet, Vicky." So give me time to go out there and try.
Exactly right. And the rest is history. With Ray Bob Toski, we'll be back. We're with the great Bob Toski this hour, making time for Toski because we can, and great stories, and you know, just the tenacity, and he's never looked back since winning that tournament, the schoolboy tournament. And Bob, you're an admiration for a lot of people, and a lot of people are always fascinated and amazed with your accomplishments and such. Obviously, leading money winner on the PGA Tour, not a lot of people can say that. And to go on to really help start an industry in golf instruction, which is now just a multi-million dollar industry, it is insane. And everybody has their coach or their instructor and such. So just fascinating things the way your life has turned out.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm so happy about, Keith, is how much money teaching role I was making, and making a good living. And of course, back when I turned pro when I was about 22, and when I taught, when after I won the world, I didn't charge enough money. But today, Butch Harmon, $5,000 for one afternoon of golf.
Afternoon or 1 hour? Never sure with Butchie.
I think it's 1 hour. I'm happy to see that. I always want to see people get into an endeavor and become successful, make money, because I struggled and I know what I went through to make it.
Yeah, but you always give back, and I find that fascinating because you're that type of person. You don't have to, though, because, you know, a Bob Toski appearance could be thousands of dollars, but I've never seen any money exchange hands.
Well, there's an old song saying you got to have heart. All you need is heart, and my heart goes on to my students. The love of my teaching turns into the love of the person to help him try to improve his ability to play and enjoy life, or if he's a golf pro, to make money.
Well, you've made your fortune over time, and you know, done it in different ways, and obviously investing is always important and such, but. You know, you never stand on your laurels that way. You just keep going, and I have great admiration for that, and I think most people would expect that out of you, but you keep doing it regardless.
You know, Keith, I had a 7.5-foot putt on the last hole with Tam O'Shanter to win the world championship, and I wasn't thinking about the fact that I was going to win $50,000 if I made the putt. Money was not on my mind. I wanted to win the world because of the fact that it was the greatest lineup of professionals, that the best field of ever that year. And I beat all these foreign pros, and to win the world championship was more on my mind than $50,000.
Well, the prominence of that, I mean, to think of the players that you played with during your time, Snead and Hogan and on and Nelson, and just name after name after name, just historic in the annals of golf.
Well, when you rub elbows with people like that, if you can't learn and improve your life and living your life and living golf and playing golf, and improve your game, because the fact that you have time to speak to them or play with them and learn by being a part of their company. And I had the best; those were my best teachers when I was on tour.
I wanted this hour talk about some of those people, because you have great stories about the majority of them, including some people that people are less familiar with. But it certainly makes for good storytelling, because you've been around long enough to have played with virtually everybody somewhere along the line, and it's if not taught with them and such. We're with the great Bob Toski. Make it time for Toski because we can. He will be 100 years old in September on the 18th, and we're gearing up for a big soiree. And, of course, he'll be coming on multiple times, probably about once a month up until that time. And then whenever he wants to come back on, he's always welcome because we've never had one of those on this show before. We'll be back with Toski.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. And we'll be right back. I'll keep my pants on.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
We are back to start the second half of the show, spending it with the legend, living legend indeed, Bob Toski. Always making time for Toski. He kind of over the years has tried to become a co-host of this show, and sometimes I let him, and then he gets carried away. I have to pull him back. You know, it's like getting him on a golf course with a golf club. You got to be careful with the Toski. So
yeah, well, I have a different personality when I teach and play golf. It's all business. And it's all hard work to try to communicate and help them accelerate, control the club face, get the ball in play, and be consistent with the 14 clubs, with it to play 18 holes. And once that's achieved, it's a big deal. A big deal for me and a big deal for my students. I do have a story about Tommy Bolt that I think everybody should hear.
Go ahead.
Tommy Bolt won the National Open in, I believe it was in Tulsa. And, of course, he'd been noted to, he probably thrown more clubs than any player on the tour. He had quite a temper. And Jimmy DeMaris said he had more airtime than Delta. I thought that was a great line.
Pretty good.
So he won the Open, and the presentation was on the first tee with the USGA officials, and he had had some. He had some time with the officials about slow play and conduct of the way he acted, and he wasn't very happy with the officials. So to accept his award, Keith, he had to walk down about 50 steps from the clubhouse down to the first tee to accept his award and his money. And I was saying goodbye to him before he started walking down those steps. And he said, Bobby, keep your eye on me, and I'm going to show you that I'm going to walk down these steps backwards. And I want to see them give me a two-stroke penalty now. And he walked down those steps backwards to accept his award with the eyes of the officials watching every move he made. And I stood there getting ready to get in my car and drive off and watch him. And I never laughed so much in my life. And he kept looking back. He kept looking at me to see if I was going to stay, how long I was going to stay. He walked 50 steps backwards all the way to the first tee. Well, I don't know what happened when he got there, but I know one thing, there wasn't anybody smiling. So that was temper Tommy Bowles.
So who else stands out in your mind of being somebody that's a personality, somebody that was their own person on the course, yet not as well known to the golf masses as Demerit or somebody else like Snead?
Well, how about Billy Casper, who was the most underrated player on the tour and one of the greatest putters that ever lived? He beat me in the playoff after I shot 65 in the senior tournament down in Rhode Island. And when I walked to the tee to meet him to get ready for the playoff, he said, well, what are you doing here? Oh, there's a needle coming out right there. And I said, I'm doing the same thing you're doing, Billy. We're here to try to win this tournament. And I want to offer you a little bit of advice. We're not going to win this tournament with a bogey. It's going to be all pars or birdies. And it ended up that way. The first playing hole, I had about a 10-footer to win, and I made the worst putt you could ever see. I pushed it, and we played four holes and finished with four pars. Went back to the original hole that we started on, where I missed a 10-footer. He makes a 30-footer on that hole to beat me by one shot. So I shot 65 to get in the playoff, but I didn't handle the pressure when I had the time to put him away. And he said, I was ready to take your hand and congratulate you, because I thought you were going to make the putt. But there's a lot of unknown players that are not that well known that can play. I mean, really good players. And of course, they promote the great names. You know that. That's what sells. But anyway, life is a journey. Whether that journey is golf or people, places, be prepared. Go on that journey. Enjoy it. Succeed. Come back home.
So says Bob Toski, the great Bob Toski on TW Keith Jones. Bob, you said pressure. You actually wilted under pressure. I don't think I've recalled too many times that you've ever said that. So what happened and how did you recoil?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the psychology that Casper put on the first tee made me that more determined to beat him. And I think because I wanted to beat Casper so much, I wanted to beat him so bad because he was a good friend of mine, but a great needler. And I think that had a lot to do with me missing that 10-foot putt.
Okay, so he was doing a little, well, nowadays would be called smack talk, I guess, right? Giving a little what for.
Well, the putters, the guys today are such great putters and chippers and bunker players. You watch television and you watch these kids today. I call them kids because I'm 99 years old, but I've never seen golf shots like that when I played on the tour in the 50s. They're pitching the ball out of bunkers. They're holding pitch shots, chip shots, or putts from 70, 80 feet. Man, that's talent. That is super talent. And I think a lot of people don't appreciate how much talent that takes until they try to do it themselves. And, of course, there's so much money involved and they work diligently on their game, especially in the short game, pitching and chipping and putting. That's where you score. And that's why I love to watch TV. They don't drive the ball very well. Of course, when you have that much speed with the clubhead, it's not going to hit the ball square or hit it with the control that you would if you had less speed. You know, these guys, 120 miles an hour, that club travels at impact. It compresses that ball. But McElroy, just last week, I think it was, hit a drive 50 yards offline. The commentator said it was about 50 yards offline. I couldn't try to hit a ball 50 yards offline if I wanted. But he's one of the best players on the tour. And very likable person. Hitting a drive that far offline. And I always have a favorite saying, Keith, they have a lot of airmail, but they have no zip code.
So says the great Bob Toski. Rory McIlroy was spotted at Wimbledon wearing his Masters green jacket. So that was interesting to see Rory in the crowd there. It's just so calm and collected and casual.
Well, I met his father, and I told his father when I met him at Seminole, I said, your son is a hell of a player and a nice kid, and I'm proud to have met you. And he came over to meet me. Came up, walked off the green. I was sitting in a cart with another pro, and he came over and introduced himself, and we had a nice conversation, and I complimented his son.
That was nice. Jerry's an interesting guy and very unassuming as well. It's amazing when you have an offspring that has accomplished like Rory McIlroy has, for sure.
Exactly right.
little less of a helicopter parent than the Tiger's dad, but you know, that was a different story for a different time. But
well, you know, I shouldn't say this, that they're spoiled, but they are. I mean, they are catered to and help to feel, you know, part of the tournament. And, of course, we never had any of that. They couldn't afford it. Everything has changed because of money.
Oh, yes. It's interesting in talking with people on the show about junior golf and about amateur golf and such. The money is so big that the college game suffers because all the good players want to skip right over and go play on the PGA Tour.
Exactly.
You know, but the PGA Tour is now, you know, with Roloff, I mean, it's Monahan's ending his tenure at the end of the year officially, and you know, Brian Ahr is in charge as the CEO, and things are changing. And, you know, even Tiger came out recently, was talking about how the tournaments are going to be set up and different things like that. So you're going to really have at least a two-tier system when it comes to the PGA Tour.
I totally agree with you. But when you have to run a system and so many tournaments in one year and try to make the scheduling for all these tournaments correct so that you can have a good field, and sometimes the tournament is they had would have, but they're not capable of producing a field of the players that the sponsor wants. So that can be a problem. And
I mean, there's a lot of problems happening.
Problem back in the 50s.
No, exactly. Yeah. No, you had, and through into the 60s and 70s, you had Glenn Campbell's name on a tournament, and Dean Martin's name on a tournament, and Bing Crosby on a tournament, Bob Hope on a tournament. You know,
exactly,
the celebrities
exactly.
had to help inflate the popularity. So then it became the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic. I'm like, what's Chrysler doing there? But there are a number of sponsors, advertisers, and supporters of a tour that have let their contracts expire and not re-signed. That's a huge money issue for the PGA Tour.
Yes, I agree.
You know, they got, and of course, you know, you've got Liv, whether that'll still be around. I mean, these conversations will go on for for many, many months because of the fact that there's just so much of the unknown out there, right? Everybody's trying to grab the golden ring and get money for their tour, and the PGA Tour is suffering. Liv is suffering. The relatability of, you know, playing golf for $1 million. I mean, there are people that play golf and never in their lifetime will they have $1 million, you know?
Right.
So it's the unrelatability is really snowballing.
Yeah. How about first prize of 2000 when I won?
Yeah.
How about 2000?
Crazy, right?
My first tournament was 2000. Second was 2000. Third was 4000. Jeez, I thought that was a big check.
Yeah.
And today it's 2 million, 4 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you go right. You go and double that by multiply that by a million. You know, there you go. Now you got the new number. So, because, you know, if you took this bet, I've said this about the Masters, that's the best example that I have. If you didn't have a purse or you had $2,000 went to the winner, I totally believe people would still tee it up at Augusta National because it's that prominent. There's more about the jacket. It's more about the trophy. It's more about the prestige that goes with winning that tournament than it is about the money. But the powers that be at Augusta National still increase their money as well.
Yeah, well, they don't have anything to do. PGA has no control over that tournament.
Right.
And he left out one name, I think, Bobby Jones. I think the reverence, the name Bobby Jones, who had everything to do with the Masters. And when I met him, that was one of the highlights of my life. To have walked up to him and be introduced to him at the clubhouse and have him say, Bobby, thank you for coming. You are now playing in the Masters. So,
yeah,
yes, I agree with you. That to be a part of that tournament and the way it's run and the golf course and... it's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I would never leave out someone of prominence of the same last name, but he was a bit older than you. One of the, if not the greatest amateur player, certainly one of. With Bob Toski, we're about to wrap up the show.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
It has been a pleasure to spend time with living legend, the last link to the great times in sport, the 50s, the 40s, even into the 60s. A lot of our greats have left us, but Bob Toski still is around. And before we went to break, he was talking about Robert Tyre Jones Jr., known as Bobby Jones, born March 17th of 1902. So he would actually be a little bit older than Bob Toski. by a couple decades. So I wish that man was still around. That's fascinating what he did for amateur golf and how they played and how different it was and such.
Amazing. Just amazing.
But I am always honored and get chills every time I have the opportunity to go to Augusta for the Masters. It is unbelievable. And it's something I don't take lightly at all to be able to go there. Year after year, so.
It's amazing when you walk down Magnolia Lane or walk or ride through it, you get that feeling. It's like getting ready to meet God for Kyle. And the feeling you get from within your heart, one great feeling to have to be a part of that tournament.
Yeah, it's hallowed ground. There's no question about that, and that's why I love what Augusta National does and how they keep the tournament going. And for a tournament that was having trouble getting started and having people accept the invitation there, like you say, it is the one tournament that I think everybody, besides starting the golf season, it's the one tournament that most professionals look and say, if I could win one, that would be it. So
that's a feather in your hat.
Yeah, and Toski's played in a few of those, so you're there, and different reasons you don't have the appreciation that you realize later you maybe should have had.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
All right, so we're looking forward to seeing you in September. You'll be on the show numerous times in the run-up to that. But, obviously, there's a lot of our listeners can't be there. We obviously like to, give them a peek inside the door as time gets closer.
Get here early so you and I can have a little toddy for the body and converse and enjoy life.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's not about your party. It's about being with you, Bob. And I appreciate the friendship. I appreciate the relationship. I appreciate everything that you've brought to me and to this show and to people in general over the years. It's great to be able to feature you on a regular basis. And it's also great to hear the stories because you are the last link. To the historical players and to those, you mentioned Bobby Jones, and that was interesting. You didn't play with him, but you met him, and to have that opportunity in your life, you led a fascinating life. And I know there are a couple books that have been kind of out and about you and such. But I feel like there's a big one coming. But phenomenal job as usual. Keep staying healthy and doing what you do and what you have to do to keep the wheels turning. That's the most important thing, and I know the golf's been helping you with that, and you've been getting out and about and stuff, so that's really, really good to hear.
I agree. I'm just trying to stay healthy until I'm standing up there on that podium and I have a jacket that's got 100 stars on it, and my first line will be, I guess, I always want to be amongst the stars.
Well, that's you. You've been amongst a lot of stars, Bob, including guys like Jimmy DeMeritt, who...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean by that statement.
Yeah, I know. I got that part. So you've been...
But I got those 100 stars on my jacket to celebrate.
Well, that's awesome. That is super awesome. I look forward to seeing that. I look forward to seeing you. But again, we will have you back on the show numerous times before then, and then afterwards as well. So we always appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
And that's the great Bob Toski with us on TW Keith Jones. We're just about out of time, though. Toski's working on his game. I know he's always working on his game. You get out there and work on your game as well. Bob is lending you information and some tidbits to help your game. Get out there. Thanks for joining us. Get out there and practice your game. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.